This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
David.
You are David.
Along with George Allman, Mark and Ken are on assignment this week. It's just going to be the two of us and,
50%.
Of course, all of you. Welcome to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 The Answer and KPRZ North County. Good morning.
Good morning. How are things?
I think they're okay. I went and let out my chickens this morning and there was a little bit of mist in the air.
They said we were expecting some drizzle. I don't know what that amounts to.
Well, I would say not very much.
And that's what
drizzle,
the numbers say, yeah. Are you expecting it? You're the weatherman. Are you expecting anything else?
You know, when I'm sitting over here.
You're not the weatherman
anymore?
You're
the weatherman.
Oh, no, I'm not. It doesn't matter.
We've had this discussion before.
We did. We have. I failed again, apparently.
There is a low-pressure system up in the northern half of the state that is going to slowly move southward and bring much cooler than normal temperatures and some moisture to our region. Not rain,
but
although
moisture.
They said maybe some light showers,
right.
But generally less than a tenth of an inch of rain. Uh-oh, that's now you're looking serious. What?
Well, no, the cooler, much cooler temperatures. We had spoke of that, earlier.
Much cooler temperatures.
Yeah, temperatures.
Yes, sir.
Like 10 degrees or so,
15? 10 to 20 below normal. It's going to be cool.
It's going to be cool, yeah.
And I have to practice for my big hike next week, so I'm going to go wander around in the drizzle and light showers.
And cooler temperatures.
And cool temperatures.
Yeah.
And see how far I can go. I didn't see a moon this morning because it was overcast. But I have it on good authority that 12% of the moon was visible overnight, in case any of you moon watchers are wondering. So what is going on in your nursery or in your gardening world? Because I've had some harvesting this week. How about you?
As well. In fact, last evening was a meal almost entirely from the garden.
Consisting of?
Well, Ken's not here, so we can freely speak of the beets.
Oh, I saw the picture.
Yeah, beets. Really, it's some golden beets and some reds. Quite delicious. What are you looking for?
You harvested beets.
I did harvest. I didn't bring any in. Is that what you're looking
for? That's what I'm looking for. Brought me how many?
I'll get you some soon. So beets, beet greens, Swiss chard, which is beets, beet greens, and some onions, one or two other things. It was delicious, just delicious.
I harvested some onions and garlic last week, and I left them on the ground to dry, and then I stepped on either a clove of garlic or onion last evening.
Well, two thoughts here real quick.
This is outside, not inside.
Yeah, I gathered that. Carrots also. Pulled some carrots last night. But your onions, did they go to seed already? Or are they
flowering.
Yeah, ours are all starting to go
and
to seed.
I was trying to harvest before that. But I don't know if you recall, but I had talked about having my six packs that I let kind of go dry and bulb. And then I planted those, and then I planted the starts. And the starts did much better than the bulbs. The bulbs went to flower and to seed much sooner. But they're very good. They're very pungent.
They did very well this year again. Fortunately,
very happy. And I harvested my straw bale potatoes. The whole thing is cleared now.
Yeah, I heard that last week. I think you were mentioning
it. Well, last week I hadn't harvested the entire thing.
Oh, so now we're done.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're not. We still have a good 2/3 of the potato bed still intact.
And it as maybe my potato bed was smaller. It was just three. It was the width. And length of a straw bale.
You know what we were harvesting, though?
What
not
were
not
you
in
harvesting?
The vegetable garden, but
we'll get back to my potatoes in a minute. Let's talk about you, George.
Always. Mulberries. We have a weeping mulberry tree. And that
it has ripe fruit on it already?
The weeping one does. The regular Pakistani hasn't even set fruit yet.
Well, that is so funny because my Pakistani mulberry every year is the last tree to come out of dormancy. And I always wonder if I overstressed it the year before. And now it is beginning to fully leaf out. There are leaves coming out all across the entire tree, but just now, there's not even a full-size leaf on it.
Ours has been leafed out. In fact, we were commenting on how much it has grown in the past season. There's good 10, 12, 14-inch branches on there that are green from just this season, but not a single piece of fruit has developed.
On the mulberry?
On the mulberry. This is the fruiting mulberry, the Pakistani.
Yeah, mine too, but it's just barely coming out of dormancy.
Interesting. How about loquats? Are you eating those?
I have had a few loquats, but they're from a seedling and they're not that great. Okay. But they're loquats, so they're okay. I've been noticing lots of ripe loquats around the county as I drive to and from work, but the ones... My primary source is my parents' house, and theirs are not ripe yet. It's very sad.
Are they in a warmer area or cooler?
They're on the shoulders of Mount Helix.
Okay.
So I don't... Warmer than me? You?
Warmer than Poway.
Well,
I'm just curious.
It has to be seedling variation, because at the bottom of the hill, when I get off the freeway, where the Brigantine is, used to be the top shelf, there is a loquat tree, and it's in full fruit, and it's fully ripe, and... I always want to stop and go pick some, but it's a very busy area, so I don't. And then I drive up the hill and then down the hill to my folks' house, and their loquats aren't right.
Is the one that you see that you want to go, but you wisely choose not to, is that a commercial area?
It's actually, it looks like it was a volunteer off the side of Fuerte Drive.
I'm curious, because I'm always hesitant. We've talked about this maybe a year or two ago about grabbing fruit from somewhere that you don't know. It's not, you know, it's not somebody's backyard or front yard that their friends or neighbor, you know, do they use systemics? Do they use the same stuff that they use on their roses because it worked so well on the roses?
Well, there is a volunteer loquat in my parents' neighbor's yard that hangs over the fence, but most of the fruit was getting high and on the other side of the fence and I couldn't reach it. And then a day or two later, it was all gone, which means probably the squirrels came by and denuded the tree and ate the whole thing. So it has to be seedling variation, because that tree and my parents' trees are only a property or so apart.
Right.
And the other ones are totally not ripe.
The one we have a gold nugget, I believe, is the one that's growing.
Well, it would be extremely hypocritical of me to go and swipe other people's fruit,
because
I do not like it. And again, this week, and it happened a year ago about this time, somebody has come by my front yard and snipped flowers off of my pincushion protea. And
time to set up a trail camera out there.
Well, I still have the trail camera that I got last year to set up. It is still in the drawer. I need to return it because the batteries are probably run out. I'm going to have to charge it before I can use it. But the cuts are professional. They're cut very well at an angle. And the cuts were done to minimize my ability to notice that the flowers were gone. But my keenly trained eye tells me somebody got a bouquet. I just hope that it was an end user and not the florist that I think it is swiping it and selling it. Because an end user doing it, I can kind of allow.
Hey, Mom, I got this for Mother's Day.
Yeah, here you go.
But I picked these wildflowers for you.
Not the other. So,
that's, yeah.
Now can I talk about my potatoes?
Please. Everyone's been waiting for it.
Yes. I took my purple potato, and I took a red potato with the dark inside, and I took a light rose potato. And because I'm such a healthy eater, I microwaved them all after poking holes in them with the fork, and I wanted to do a taste test. But in order to do a proper taste test, I had to put some Smart Balance on it and cheese. So that they all had Smart Balance and cheese to get a true taste. But I did try some. Don't say it yet. I did take my first fork without that.
Okay, but did you do it? Did you put them out and then spin the plate with your eyes closed so you wouldn't know what you were eating and then look down to see so you could tell which, so you didn't have any kind of bias?
No.
Oh, so it wasn't a very good experiment.
It was not a blind taste test.
Okay.
It was a sighted taste test.
All right.
Is that what it? However, comma. I think there's a difference in the taste of potatoes.
Which did you prefer?
The light rose one. The slightly pinkish colored exterior, white interior, I think was the best. The purple was about the same. Actually, they all tasted about the same, and I think the one was a little bit better. And I do kind of have a problem with the dark red one because the interior turns kind of brown. It doesn't look very tasty when you...
We made, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, we made mashed potatoes with a bunch of different... So there was no way to tell which was which, but just cooked them all with the skins on
and
mashed
them. Did you eat them blindfolded anyway?
Just to
be
prove
fair?
Yeah, to be fair. Yeah. But it was delicious. They were great.
What did you put on them to make them
just a little
unhealthy?
Butter, a lot of garlic because... There were vampires near us, and so you have to have a lot of garlic.
Well, garlic's supposed to be good for you.
It is, and I eat a lot of garlic. So
I step on it.
You do?
I grow it. I harvest it. I step on it. And that's like crushing it in preparation for a meal, so it's almost like getting it.
Providing, I would argue, that you brought it in the house and used it eventually.
No, but I stepped on it, so I
you're
may
halfway
have taken
there.
Some by osmosis
you're
through
halfway
my
there.
Shoe, through my foot.
So just a little buttermilk and salt, pepper, and a lot of garlic. And just mashed it all together, and it was just wonderful.
Sounds really good. Yeah. I was pretty pleased with mine.
I think we've spoken of this in the past. The joy of gardening is pulling that stuff out of the garden and cooking it up and eating it and saying, we grew this. This was from our garden.
I'm not sure why I'm staring at you like that was a really silly thing to say, because I totally agree with you, but I was giving you a really weird look.
That's a stupid thing. Why are you saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not mean that face. Okay.
Disregard my face.
Please disregard my face.
But isn't that one of the joys? I mean...
It is. It is. And I was thinking as I was doing that...
That face?
I moved one of my... I had the big... Smart pot.
Okay.
Filled with carrots. And I went to move them as I was preparing my garden for summer crops, for my tomatoes and peppers. And there was a zillion, I think that's the number, 1 zillion earwigs under the pot. So I took the smart pot to my chicken coop, knocked the heck out of it, dropped all of the earwigs down, and the chickens had a field day.
They loved my
earwigs. And so now the smart pot's in another area, and it's not getting as much water.
I'm laughing because I pulled a beet out last night, and I had told Capri after I'd brought it the others in, said I picked up one of the beets that was split, cracked, and I said it had about 1 million pill bugs in it, and I said, okay, that's an exaggeration. It had maybe 723.
It was a zillion, I'm sure of it.
It was covered in the slit, just where it had split, just covered with...
Did you give them to the chickens?
We don't have chickens there.
Did
so
you bring
just...
them for my chickens?
They're in the bag with the beets.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm not beyond soliciting, begging for beets on air.
We'll get you some.
Or a beet. I don't want to be greedy.
We were talking about going hiking tomorrow to Barona and seeing David and the roses again tomorrow, because we anticipate the others being in bloom that we had discussed a couple weeks ago.
Ken went last week.
Oh, did he? Well, that said, if you join us on this hike, there might be a beet or two for you.
Okay, we'll see. I'm trying to... I need to walk 10 or 12 miles or something like that. So we'll check. And then
so you better beat the crowd.
Yeah. That was kind of... I mean, that was something I would have said, which probably means it wasn't funny, but I thought it was kind of funny. Did that go over the air? Okay, good. Thank you. And on that note, we will talk about the carrots I was going to talk about before you so rudely
interrupted
or beat me to another topic.
Oh, gosh.
So if you would like to participate, please give us a call at 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170, The Answer, and KPRZ North County. We'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
The garden party, they all knew my name. as me. Didn't look the same, but it's all right, right now.
Welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, The Answer, and KPRZ, KPRZ, North County. I am David Ross, along with George Allman, who's now giving me the look I gave to him. Ken and Mark are on assignment. Why are you giving me that look?
No, I'm waiting for you to come back because we have the seven or eight listeners just poured their next cup of coffee and they're waiting to hear about the carrots.
Well, I moved them. I didn't put them back where they came from, and now they get less sun. They're under the mulberry tree that doesn't have many leaves on it, but it has a lot of branches, so it does provide some shade. And I harvested, and I ate them, and they don't taste as good. They were the white carrots, which were the best ones, the sweetest ones in the group, and then followed by the little orange ones, were not as good. And I'm wondering if it's because they're drought stressed because I haven't watered them because they're not near a hose anymore, or because it's getting warmer and they don't like the warmer weather, or
not enough sun to create sugars.
Oh, maybe that's it.
I don't know.
Okay. But they weren't as good as they were a few weeks ago.
We didn't try the ones we pulled last night, so we have to maybe today taste those.
A few weeks ago, I needed a few carrots on my way home. I stopped at Smart and Final, and they have 25-pound bags of carrots for horses out at... I'm assuming it's for horse. Oh, no, it's for juice.
Okay.
People in my neck of the woods buy them for horses. But I forgot that I had carrots at home, and a little bag of carrots... The 25-pound bag of carrots
made more economic sense.
$6.
Yeah.
It made much more economic sense. So I bought a 25-pound bag of carrots. And
if you eat 10 of them, you're ahead.
I did not refrigerate them. And yes, I have shared some with my horses. But I had carrots at home. I didn't need to buy carrots.
You just couldn't pass up the bargain.
No, it wasn't that. I wasn't thinking about having carrots at home to harvest.
I thought you couldn't pass up the bargain.
No. I mean, that...
Because I have seen you purchase stuff that you said
is
possible. I have like 9 of these at home, but I'm going to stick this in the freezer because I couldn't pass up this.
Because it was 49 cents a pound.
Exactly.
And normally, yes, that can happen. If you would like to give us a call and talk about my purchasing habits or, you know, anything else garden related or harvest related, the number here is 888-344-1170. Last week, I hope y'all tuned in and listened to Roy. You didn't get to listen to him because you were not here, but he was a wonderful interview.
We did, actually. On the drive back from Yosemite, we listened to the podcast.
Speaking.
And it was a great, great show. Yeah,
Roy's a phenomenal. And I do actually listen when Roy is on. I don't listen to you guys when we're on the air together, but I listen to him. And he had a lot of interesting things to say, which when I run into him at the nursery, we're kind of moving more rapidly and it's a little more superficial. And I don't listen to what he has to say.
Now you've been up there a number of times, but I've gone up there a couple times, and it's been about a year, I guess. Well, COVID kind of put a damper on it, but Capri and I went up there too and spoke with him, and it's he's just a nice guy, you said on the radio,
he
doesn't look like a nice.
Why we do not judge books by their cover.
He is a great guy, and we really enjoy going up there and talking with him and learning and just experiencing the gardens because he's done a phenomenal job there.
And you know, for our participation in the Master Gardener seminar program, we each have a bag.
I have that bag. Yeah, I have that
fill.
Bag.
So
yeah.
This summer we'll have to go do that. But something that really stuck with me with what he was talking about was his version of succession planning. You and I argued about that before we went on.
Well,
the
no,
air
we had
morning.
A discussion. I don't think we argued.
We kind of bickered a little.
Well, we
bit.
Threw a couple things, but
yeah. Not much. Nobody got injured in the making of this radio show so far. But most of the problems that people have in their garden are later in the season.
Right.
And he kind of avoids that.
Because he's in and out.
He does it, and he plants another crop. And before... My goal has always been to nurse them along. I can make it grow. I can fix this. But it seems kind of silly when it'd be so easy just to start another plant and do the whole process over again. They grow so fast during the summer. It makes so much more sense than trying to nurse the plants along.
Now, he does have a greenhouse, so he has a large number of plants always in the background waiting to go.
This is where we started bickering, because you were naysaying, and I was being positive.
I actually agree with it. I think there's a lot of utility in doing it that way. Now, when you and I speak, or traditionally when we speak of succession planting, it's, you know, you put 10 radish seeds in, and then a week later you put 10 radish seeds in, and a week later.
So ain't going to happen in my world.
No, but that's how you always have stuff ready to come in.
Yes.
But, you know, Roy puts a big row in. And then he rips it out and puts the next one in. But he's also feeding, you know, a lot of people. But no, I like what he does. In fact, Capri and I spoke about this last night, that we're going to go visit him.
Okay.
I owe him a cup of coffee. I told him the next time I come up, I'll bring him a Starbucks.
So prior to him talking about that, have you ever thought about your gardening in those terms, or succession planting in those terms? Because I never have. Once it goes in the ground, my goal is to drag it across the finish line whenever that is, which is probably frost.
It would depend on the plant. And for the most of them, though, yes.
Okay, this tomato plant here in my hand.
That one, yes. That one, I tend to do the same thing. And as you well know, I mean, I've spoken numerous times on the air about keeping a tomato plant for 4 years just because I could.
But they never produce as much.
Well, they produce smaller quantities in the winter, usually tougher skins, but then they bounce back and they produce just as much the next year. They're perennial.
I'm giving you a look of incredulity.
I know you are.
Because I don't think they produce as much the fall in successive years.
Especially if they have the spider mites.
Or
nematodes. But that said, you know, some of them, like lettuces, spinach, things like that, yeah, you get them in, get them out, because they go to seed so quickly.
Well, I'm going to have to try this year. And I'm actually going to try nematodes this year. Well, at least I'll buy them and I'll take them home. And then we'll see where it goes from there. And speaking of buying them and taking them home, I'm moving on now. I'm done with this. But I really like that philosophy with annual plants. It's probably easier, better for the environment, better and easier to deal with.
Before you move on, I like production in the garden. I like to get as much as I can, but I'm more of the lazy gardener like yourself. So if you are that person that likes the very neat, tidy palace at Versailles kind of gardening, then Roy's method's better, because it's always neat, always clean, always tidy.
Well, I wouldn't go that far with Roy, but I understand the point you're trying to make.
Well, Roy does have volunteers that also help come out. You and I don't have that as much. strolling by to help weed.
My sister was one of those volunteers in the community garden a few years ago, and she told me what a nice guy Roy was. So I went back to see if it was the same guy, and it was. It was incredible. Very nice. That is Roy from Cadence at Poway Gardens. We were talking a little bit about what mid-May brings in the horticultural world, you and I. Do you remember what that means?
Was that today? Because
yes.
I'm kind of old. What are we talking about?
Mid to late May. What do we tell people to deploy in mid to
absolutely.
Late May? And that goes with taking it home and putting it in the garage.
Well, the secret is not to just bring it home, because I noticed ours in the garage yesterday and I need to deploy it. And that's citrus leaf miner.
What is it?
The traps, the pheromone traps for citrus leaf miner.
What is that?
It's a origami type device that you have to fold properly, get it all together. It's a little red triangle with a pheromone that you throw inside it. It's sticky and it attracts males who think they found a willing female, and they are stuck. And so what you have is less pregnant females flying around depositing eggs in your citrus leaves.
That might be a little more detail than we needed to go to here on AM 1170 and KPRZ North County. But yes, that is exactly it. And I had forgotten how difficult it was to do the origami.
Right.
Until Mary brought in one of the traps last week.
How do you do this?
I'm like, I don't know. I just did it. And then if you take out that pretty label on
the
back
side,
all the picture steps on how to fold your origami. But we do say that the citrus leaf miner moth shows up in mid to late May, and we are darn close to mid-May. Would you agree?
Yes, I would.
What
today
is today?
Being the 15th, yes.
And how many days half September, April, June, and May?
I don't think that's how it goes.
So at midday today, we'll be at the middle of the
month.
We're
there, yeah. So deploy them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is time to get your, if you want to control the citrus leaf miner, why don't you quickly tell us what that is?
Well, just in, you know, for some expectations management, it's not going to make it zero. It's a mitigating step. It's not a panacea. It doesn't stop it. It just reduces it a great deal, the citrus leaf miner. It's a tiny little moth, very little moth, that lays its eggs into new growth, and the egg will hatch, and it literally mines its way through the leaves, and it will destroy a leaf. The leaf will start curling up. The structural integrity of the leaf is destroyed.
Ooh, I like
as it starts
phrase.
To unfurl, which makes it curly.
Integrity.
And then that larva will, you know, get its wings and fly on and keep going.
It goes over to the edge of the leaf. It curls. It tucks itself in and then emerges. I don't know how many days later and flies off to do the same thing again.
And so the traps are useful for two things. One, as I said, it is a mitigating step. It'll help reduce the populations. But more importantly, I think, is you can look inside it and you'll see all these little specks. And that gives you a visual that it's time to go out there, maybe spray. Because you can spray insecticidal soap, hort oil, neem oil. Any of that will kill the moth when the moth is active. It won't take care of the miner when it's in the leaf.
However, those sprays you're talking about, the insecticidal soap and neem oil, will only kill on contact.
Correct, correct.
Does the neem oil have a residual?
It's purported to have some repelling. But I know it as a hormonal disruptor, so I don't know how much... you know, residual it has.
And there is one other product that's labeled for use on that.
And that would be,
called?
Well, the Captain Jack's spinosad, the microbial insecticide. It's a bacteria. But the thing with that is that's for the miner itself when it's in the leaf. It does nothing for the moth.
Correct.
Right.
And however, because it is translaminar.
Translaminar. I see. I paused. I didn't want to say translaminar and ruin the feng shui of the show.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much, and I noticed that, and I took the opportunity. So because it is translaminar, it penetrates the leaf, it persists in the leaf and will help to protect the leaf for up to a month.
Right. Now, the thing with the spinosad is it is, or the Captain Jack's product name is, it is...
bug brew.
It is moderately toxic to bees when it's wet on flowers, so it's best to spray in the evening so it has a chance to dry.
And if your plant's in full bloom,
right?
Don't spray.
Right, and then additionally, it is it has a lot of restrictions on how often you can spray it, depending on the crop and how often when you can harvest.
Let's talk about citrus.
Citrus specifically, you only can spray it 6 times a year on citrus. Okay.
So if you start in May, mid to late May, which is now.
For those who can't see, he has his fingers up.
I have my thumb out. So the citrus leaf miner is prevalent here primarily from mid to late May until the end of October. So spray in May, that's one, June, July, August, September, October.
Six fingers up.
That's six fingers. So since it's limited to six, you only need six.
There you go.
It'll persist in the leaf for a month. It should take care of you. If you want to do that, do it now, but be careful with bees and the flowers.
Perfect. That's well done.
And neither the Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew nor the pheromone attractant traps are 100% effective, but they are good mitigators.
Right.
And they will reduce it dramatically if you actually deploy them.
And that is the key. Yeah.
I like to tell you that I had such good success with the pheromone traps the first year, I didn't do it again. And the leaf miners come back year after year.
Yes, they do.
And the damage they do now, which looks kind of cute because you get a silvery discoloration to the leaf where it separates the cuticle
In some ways, it looks like a snail track.
Yes.
Or a slug.
But that damaged portion of the leaf is more susceptible to the sun, and then the sun burns the heck out of it, and then that portion of the leaf decays and falls out and looks awful in November, December, January.
Right.
And that's when people come in and say, what's wrong with my leaf? Well, this happened in April, May, June, July, August, and September, plus October. That's six fingers, right?
Right.
Okay. You done with that? Are you going to add anything to that, or are you going to just leave me over
here? I think that's it. I think the key there is that it's not 100%. You still may end up with some damaged leaves, but you can reduce it significantly.
Okay.
By being proactive.
All right, well, then I'm going to go into the break with this. Last week when Roy was here, we were talking about the special events at Abraxas, and we didn't talk about any other special events that might be coming up at Cadence or elsewhere. So hopefully when we come back, we will talk about different special events. You are listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170 The Answer and KPRZ North County. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ North County. I feel more free to sing coming back from the breaks when Ken's not here.
Does he not like your singing?
Well, I guess no. I mean, just in answer to your question, no, he does not like my singing. He doesn't say, "Hey, Dave, could you hum me a few bars?" Or no, he doesn't say that.
So he never says when we come back from the break, can you pick it up at the top?
No, he usually gives me a look like, why are you singing? Because I always want to sing it because it's I like the song. We are going to go to Chula Vista and talk to Alan about his tree question. No, why are you looking at me like that?
No, I'm just curious what kind of tree, what type of tree and what the question might be.
It's a special tree in Chula Vista that Alan has. Chula Vista, a tree grows.
Yeah, good morning, guys. You guys sound so lonesome for callers. You mentioned about loquat trees this morning.
We did.
And my neighbor planted one a few years ago, and the tree is about 4.5 or 5 feet tall. So it's not full size yet, but it's loaded with fruit. And I just wonder, is anyone that's tried to make loquat jam? I had a friend years ago that harvested some off of another tree and made loquat jam, and I guess it's pretty spectacular if you do it right.
I've not made jam. I've made a pie with it that turned out really, really delicious. It has a lot of raisins in it. Very sweet. It's good. It's a good. I imagine jam would be very good with it as well.
I concur.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be excellent that way, and probably on a loquat upside down cake instead of plums. My mom always used to do it with plums. Okay. I think loquats would be good under there.
Yeah, it's a small tree, and the fruit is about the size of a large marble, and it's a bright orange. And one of our other neighbors said when it's orange like that, it's ready to harvest.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they are. Give them a try.
Is there more than one variety of it?
There's lots of varieties, and they grow rapidly and freely from seeds, so we get a lot of seedling variation out there.
There are the two main types, though. There are yellow varieties like the Gold Nugget and Big Jim, and then there's a couple white. Or
champagne.
Like champagne, and I think Advance might be another white. I don't remember if that one is or not.
Do you have any idea how large the tree grows?
They can get 20, 30 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I grew up with some large loquat trees, and they will get quite large, and they can get quite large quite fast. So if you want to keep it small, trim it every year and keep it down.
Okay. Yeah, good idea.
20 to 30 feet is what the numbers say.
Well, 30 feet is what David said.
I know, and I'm just backing you up.
Oh, thank you. I'm shocked that you were checking.
Forceful backup.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thanks for the call, Alan.
Hey, we've got one more question.
Yes, sir.
Does a tree, a loquat tree, require any special fertilizer, or will Grow Power work for it?
Grow Power would be great. It requires no special fertilizer.
No.
As a matter of fact, they do quite well with almost no fertilizer.
Right. Yeah.
They might do better with some Grow Power. But they're pretty self-sufficient.
They're pretty drought-tolerant, too.
Okay. Any special watering needed or just general watering?
Just a general, occasional deep soaking. And I say occasional, probably a couple of times a month if it's established, which it sounds like this one is.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for the info.
Alan. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Now, there's a gentleman by the name of Farmer Roy on the phone.
Again? Did you just talk to him last week?
We did talk to him, and it was quite a bit. And he was here. He was in studio, which made it quite a bit more. Good morning, Roy. Thanks for getting up again and talking to us.
Hey, no problem. And to the gentleman that just called, loquat jam is awesome. I have some of my garden lady friends that bring that to me during the year, and good stuff.
When you said, you know, Roy, thanks for getting up, I was waiting for Roy to say, I've been up since 4, because that's his standard response.
Standard line. I was a little surprised he didn't go there as well. You're a little disappointing this morning, Roy.
I went to a wedding last night, and I'm moving a little slow this morning, but no, I was in at 4. Yeah, no problem.
All right. Way to go. Go ahead.
I see you brought the big guns back in. You got Greg there.
You mean George?
Greg Allman thing.
Yeah, and his band. I gotcha. I'm a little slow. I didn't go to a wedding last night, and I'm
just
a little
naturally slow.
Yeah. So
they didn't play any Allman Brothers. But I don't know where that came from. George, how you doing?
I'm good.
This is starting to feel like the longest day of my life. But it's feeling like a really long day, Roy.
Well, today is not the longest day. June 20th is the longest day during the summer solstice. And funny you should mention that, because here at Cadence at Poway Gardens, we're a memory care community. All of our residents have Alzheimer's, and the longest day refers to a campaign that the Alzheimer's Association puts on every year, and we are in the midst of raising money to reach out to people, create awareness, maybe find a cure, don't know. But if you knew somebody or Alzheimer's kind of hit your heart a little bit, I know my mom had it, and I know a lot of friends that have it, and again, everybody here has it. So we are in the process of raising donations, and if you're interested, you can go to 2021, the longest day at Cadence at Poway Gardens, and get some information. We have raffle prizes. We have events going on throughout the next few weeks until June 20th. And a lot of good raffle prizes, especially from really nice donors like Walter Anderson that are donating some gift certificates and fruit trees and other local businesses in the area. So,
and now that you said it on the air, I can't back out. I have to actually
kind of commit
it, come through with it.
Well, you guys have been extremely supportive with all the fundraisers in the past that we've done. I mean, we haven't been doing them like we used to do because of COVID, but now you guys are extremely gracious and generous with helping the community. Oh, and hey, I want to let you know, when I was like stealing your show last weekend.
When you stole my show last weekend, yes.
And I mentioned the Abraxas fundraiser, they kicked butt. It was a zoo there, and they made a lot of money to keep that special ed program going on in the garden going on there. So again, thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Are you implying that we had more than 7 listeners and they showed up?
Dude, I was like taking pictures with people. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it was slammed for 3 hours. I'm not going to tell you how much they made, but if you're ever in the Poway area and you're wondering what's going on in that reconverted tennis court on Palmerado Road, it's just an outstanding garden.
Okay, before you get too far away, so we can up our estimated audience count from 7 to like 15 now. I know it was not a scientific survey you did, but 15 to 20, you think?
Yes, most definitely.
Well, then it's a good thing we brought you back on the air, Roy. You're probably helping our listenership. Thank you very much. So on the longest day, on the 20th, are you going to be, since it's after the 15th of June and the governor has promised to allow us to partially reopen the state, are you going to have a fundraiser in the community garden there? Is there going to be any on-site functions at Cadence?
I'm going to say yes, but it'll probably be instead of our normal June barbecue fundraiser for our food bank gardens that feed the those that need help here in our area. It'll probably be sometime in September, but they've had some gracious donors over the last year and a half, so they're plugging away really well. So worst case scenario, next June, but probably something in the springtime.
Okay, so I know this...
All the garden clubs are just waiting to get out and get back to raising funds for their clubs.
We all are.
Yes.
And so this fundraiser that you are doing, that Cadence is at Poway Gardens is doing now, is all online. There's going to be no in-person playing this year.
At this point, yes. We might. Yeah, let's just say it's all going to be online this year.
Okay.
I think rather than us try to switch gears halfway through, but it'll be on Facebook. It'll be you'll see it somewhere. So,
and if something changes, you know anybody that has a radio show you could call on a Saturday morning and let people know?
If you're up.
Very good, yes. I will see if Armstrong's has a radio show. No.
Oh, hey now. Well, real quickly before we go to the break, is Grangetto's participating in your function? Do they make donations to your function?
Of course. I have to play both ends against the middle.
No.
We're
compadres.
We're like Macy's and
Gimbel's.
And Gimbel's in Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes. No. I'm not complaining about that. I was throwing out Grangetto's name. Kevin is supposed to give us a call one of these days. All righty, Roy. I'm going to let you go because we are at that time where I have to say it's been so nice. I'm so glad we had this time together. Anyway, thanks for calling. Thanks for not getting up for us, but being up. And we will talk to you again soon.
Take care, Roy.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
If you want to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to KPRZ and KCBQ. We'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
Welcome back to Ricky Nelson and Garden Talk here on AM 1170 and KPRZ. You are listening to David Ross and George Allman. Not Greg Allman and not the Allman Brothers Band.
And Ricky Nelson's not here.
And Ricky Nelson is not. Right. No, he is not. We are listening to Garden Talk. We are Garden Talk. Oh, Ken and Mark are not here today. They're out doing better, more... No, not better.
Yeah.
Not more exciting. Different things
Different.
Than
more
sharing
appropriate.
Here with you. If you would like to participate in the show this morning, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. I think we're going to head up to San Marcos and talk to Pat about eggplant. Is that acceptable to you, George?
That works for me.
All right, let's do it. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I really enjoy your program. Hey, I have an eggplant that wintered over. Last year, it produced purple eggplants, right? Well, this year, the eggplants start out purple, but then they turn yellow. And I want to know what to do about it, or just...
Before you give her the proper answer, do you know what that reminds me of? An Ajax commercial. Shakes out white, turns blue. Get Ajax, the blue dot cleanser.
I don't remember that one. I bet it shakes out white, turns blue. I mean,
shakes
I remember
out
Ajax,
white, turns blue.
Yeah.
And stains, and away go stains right down the drain. Oh, well, anyway, back to the eggplant thing. Do you know the reason for that, George? I have a thought.
Well, what's your thought? And I'll tell you what I think.
Okay. When I leave eggplant on the plant too long,
it overripens.
It overripens and turns this yellowish orange color and starts to fade out. That's what I think it is. What do you think?
But the thing is, they're very little, the fruit.
There's a pepper weevil that will cause yellowing as well, an insect.
Oh.
That's according to the University of California.
You tried to set me up, didn't you?
Okay. No.
I'm going to throw things.
What kind of insecticide do I use for it?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to look into that. I just know that there's...
Is it on the inside or the outside?
The outside. It's the buds or the fruit start to just turn yellow. But I agree with you. I mean, typically if they're overripe or they're small, they're not going to develop in the winter.
And it
they need warmth. They need warmth to really kick off. So if it's cool,
they're not going to do what they're supposed to do.
So they may just mature right there and be overripe.
So according to the Farmer Roy theory, those plants should have been removed and replaced a long time ago, and you would have avoided this situation.
In fact, yes, yeah. I've overwintered a couple, and
George has overwintered a few times.
And in a warm area with, you know, I have a lot of rocks around them, they come back pretty quickly, but it does make more sense to rip those out. They're susceptible, just like tomatoes, to spider mites and everything else in the winter.
Okay, but since you've overwintered them, we'll let you keep them a little bit longer and see if the warmer weather that is not coming this weekend will help them to produce a little bit larger fruit and fruit later.
Well, you know, the strange thing about this eggplant, we had that crazy hailstorm in January. I don't know if you remember, towards the end of January. And we got in San Marcos, where I live, 2 inches of hail. And my eggplant was in a container. And actually, it thrived. The other plants didn't do real well. But this, it came out the leaves were beautiful and green, and it really did well after that. It was really freaky.
Well, it has shown an allegiance to you, so we will allow you to show an allegiance to it and maintain it for a little bit longer. How long have those fruits been on there, would you guesstimate, the ones that are turning yellow now? Is it weeks or months?
I would say no, just about maybe a week.
Oh, and they're already turning yellow after just being there for such a short time?
Yeah, that's the weirdest
thing.
Okay,
then I'm going to go with George's weevil.
Weevils can cause that, but I still think your point there is should be considered as well.
Weevils wobble, but
they don't fall down. I knew you were going to go there. Yeah, okay. But your point's well taken, too. I mean, they mature, but it's the weather's just cold. It's not warm enough. They like warmth to do their best.
Okay.
We're going with warmth. All right,
Pat.
Thanks for calling and getting no answer to... Well, she got two answers to her question.
Right.
All right. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170. Rose in Escondido has a loquat comment. I can hardly wait. It's a flower name of a caller.
I know, yeah.
Let's go to Rose in Escondido, which is really probably, I'm guessing, San Marcos. But let's see. Good morning, Rose.
Well, good morning. Actually, it is the unincorporated part of San Marcos, but if I walked across the street, it would be Escondido.
That's kind of like me. I'm in Spring Valley, but if I walk across the street, I'm in Jamul, but you're in San Marcos. So let's just...
It's all about the zip code.
Yes, it is. Okay.
She sounds like that caller Camille or Camellia.
Camellia.
Yeah.
She's a friend. We actually have a big party up here, so there are a lot of listeners. We're just waiting for Roy to come back, but that's okay. That's okay.
Okay, if I'm reading the screen here correctly, it says you have a loquat comment. Would you like to share that with our listeners?
Yes, I do.
And for those of you who think I'm being short with Rose, I kind of am. She's my sister, and I've seen a lot of her in the last week. So I just wanted to get that out there so that nobody complains.
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure. Okay, give us your loquat comment. If anybody can...
I wanted to say that they are very labor-intensive and delicious. I would recommend, if you're going to make the loquat upside down cake, that you peel your loquat. It's going to have you end up with less fruit, but I think when they cook, they don't taste very... The skins aren't very good.
The skins
detract.
Yeah, they
can be a little bitter. Yeah.
Yes.
Like David.
so I am... I. David
and
is
and
to...
That,
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that's just fine. A long time ago, I made loquat wine, and that's something that you can do with your loquats, speaking of labor-intensive, but it will make a very good wine for beginners. If you want to try that and you have a lot of time to work with...
All right, would you be willing to, off the air, give me your recipe and time for loquat wine so that we could share that with the three listeners that are going to ask for it?
Absolutely. No problem. As long as you feel like you can sing, because no one should tell you not to sing, because it's a beautiful thing.
Nobody told me not to sing. It was my own...
No, but you were getting a look from someone, and I think that we all know what that's like, to love to sing, and someone gives you the look.
Oh.
I think that you need to feel free.
Are we talking about a look from Dad here, Jennifer? Is that what it is? I mean, Rose?
Like,
is that what you're saying? Yes.
Yes.
I just want you to feel free to sing.
Okay.
And I've got
those recipes if anyone needs it.
Give Mom a hug for me.
I will. Thank you.
All righy, Rose. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we grew up with a lot of loquats, and the best part of loquats is
spitting out those massive seeds.
And they're shiny, so they go a long way easily.
My golden retriever loves loquats. Remember the coyote picture of the video? Coyotes love loquats. Coyotes love loquats. Hind legs ripping my tree apart.
I was walking down the street by my parents' house this week, and there was a mass in the street that looked like it had come from a coyote, and there were loquat seeds
in that mass. Eat them. Yeah.
I don't know if we can talk about that on air or not.
It's part of gardening.
It is? Okay. Yeah. Well, it's composting.
Right.
Or part of fertilizing. You are listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170 KPRZ and KCBQ. I have been asked very nicely from Walter Anderson Nursery, our San Diego/Point Loma store is looking for people with nursery knowledge, plant knowledge. If anybody out there has some plant knowledge and is looking for work or knows somebody who has plant knowledge and looking for work, please apply at Walter Anderson Nursery at 3642 Enterprise Street in San Diego. Their phone number is 619-224-8271. Do you have any last minute loquat suggestions?
There are a great number of good recipes online that, as Rose was alluding to, for wines, jams, pies, pickled, and a whole bunch of other things. So they're all available out there.
All righty. Well, you, I hope, have enjoyed Garden Talk. We've enjoyed bringing it to you. However, Auto Talk is waiting out there for us, and we're going to need to give them the studio so they can get this place cleaned out from our germs before they come in. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Question for the Garden Talk crew, or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor, send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com, or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.